Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming on the KTTH smartphone app where not only can you get the audio of the show, but also watch video from live inside the studio. We even put one in front of producer Jackson. Comes off very awkward on film. It's wonderful. I'll have video later on our social media channels. A mother from Tumwater, she went on the new Washington's Lottery website. And she left with AI porn of herself. Yeah, that is what's trending. Brought to you by Legacy Group Capital Northwest Fund.
What's trending? A Jason Rant exclusive.
You really can't make this up. There's a new website from Washington's Lottery. It's an AI mobile site. And what it ended up doing to poor Megan, a 50-year-old mother who lives in Tumwater, what it did to her, well, let's just say traumatizing. Let's just call it traumatizing. Because this is how it works, as she found out on March 30th. She went on the site for the frivolous fun that you might get at a Washington's Lottery website where you've got this service called Test Drive a Win. And it allows you to digitally throw a dart at a dartboard. And on the dartboard, there are different so-called dream vacations that presumably you would pay for with your winnings from the Washington State Lottery. And so she digitally tossed this dart, and it landed on a dream vacation where she would, quote-unquote, swim with the sharks. Now, that doesn't sound like a dream vacation to me. That actually sounds awful.
Sounds terrifying.
Right? I mean, oh my God. What, Washington's Lottery, why do you want us to die? Why do you want us to be food for sharks? Get it together, man. But that's what she landed on. And what she found out next was the new cool AI technology in which you can either upload a photo of yourself or take a screenshot of yourself within the mobile site feature and then upload it. The AI will then take your head and put it on the body of someone who's enjoying the vacation, in this case, swimming with the sharks. And so she decided, oh, that sounds cool. Because she's probably like so many other people who looks at AI tech and says, oh, look at the promise of this technology. Look what it can do. And so she uploads, she waits. She waits a little bit longer. And then, bam, she got the photo, the image of her head on the body of someone enjoying a vacation where she's swimming with the sharks. Except the photo was softcore pornography. Yeah. It was softcore porn. I've got the photo up right in front of me. She's smiling. This AI version of Megan. She is sitting on the bed. She's got a bathing suit bottom on. But no top. Yeah, her bare breasts are exposed. And this was a very realistic looking AI photo to the point where after I showed my staff, I thought immediately maybe I should have gotten affirmative consent before showing them said photos so that they don't go to Marin in our HR office, which, let's just be clear, if you ever complain about me to HR, even though this is an HR violation right now, we're going to scrub this from the podcast. Oh, so help you. Was the photo pretty?
It was bad.
It was bad. And it was very flattering. Don't get me wrong.
Well, yeah, I mean.
But that was softcore pornography. And thank God for this poor woman who had to see this. At least some of it was covered. Right. She was topless, but she did have a bathing suit on, a bottom on. So she's obviously concerned when she sees this, shocked, appalled, as anyone would be. She reached out to me saying our tax dollars are paying for this. I was completely shocked. It's disturbing to say the least. Now, she obviously feared that this image could potentially get out. Now, the good news is, at least as far as we can tell, you're the only one who has access to the image. On the back end, I don't know. Like if the Washington's Lottery people have access, I don't think so. But she's obviously concerned at that point. And so she tells a friend about what happened. And it just so happens that the friend knows someone who works at Washington's Lottery. That friend apparently told Washington's Lottery, the people in charge, I guess in marketing, what had happened. And that's where things get really interesting to me. Now, I don't have the exact timeline as to when Washington's Lottery people were told. I know that the image was popped out on March 30th, and by the next day, Megan had a conversation with the person who knows someone at the Washington State Lottery. I reached out yesterday afternoon about, I think, 1-ish, 1:30, after very excitingly trying to recreate the photo on the app with my own head. It did not happen.
You would.
I finally did end up landing on Swimming with the Sharks. I kept getting like going to the pyramids in Egypt and stuff like that. I don't want to do that. It's too hot. And so they gave me the Swimming with the Sharks and I was so excited and it didn't happen. I was fully clothed.
Darn.
Much to the dismay of the people around me who are watching me try to get this photo to come up. But I sent the email about 1:30, I believe, yesterday. And I got a pretty quick response from their PR person saying, we got your message. We'll be in touch. I'm a little understaffed right now, but I'm going to get you a statement. Now, that's almost always a good sign. It's like, okay, they're not flat out saying this is not true. This did not happen. Because in the back of my mind, I'm always wondering, you know, am I getting played? Is this a hoax? Because this is a great story. Now, I never truly believe that of the person who reached out to me. Generally, 50-year-old moms from Tumwater are not running a scam on you. But, you know, you never know. You never know. Maybe she was hacked and she fell for a scam. So the show's done. I'm getting ready to do my podcast. And I got an email response from the Washington's Lottery PR person. And he said, we were made aware that a single user of the AI platform was purportedly provided an image that did not adhere to the built-in parameters set by the developers. Prior to launch, we agreed to a comprehensive set of rules to govern image creation, including that people in images be fully clothed. Imagine having that conversation, by the way. You're sitting around the table. I know we don't really have to, do we even have to say this? I guess just to be safe, just make sure there's no nudity. No full frontal nudity. I don't even want to see backside. No skin. You know, I know you're laughing at me. It would never happen, obviously. Goes on to say, we have not seen the image that the AI provided to this user, but out of an abundance of caution, we took the website down. They took the website down. It's still down. It's still down. And I have, and I posed the question to them, because they obviously didn't answer all my questions directly that I had put out there, which was, well, okay, why'd you wait until after my email to take the website down? I mean, you had heard about this earlier in the week. We know that just as a matter of, I couldn't tell you the exact day time, but we know you learned about this. Why did you not, in my head I was thinking, well, presumably once they heard about this, they went back to the, you know, the back end guidelines and just made sure it said, hey, no breasts, no full frontal nudity, those kinds of things. And then they fixed it and, you know, we go on with our day. But no, I don't think that's what happened at the time, right? It's just like, it's odd timing. So finally, he gets back to me with that part of the question. And, you know, kudos to him. Again, I don't need an answer within like 2 seconds of sending an email. I would love it. It would make my life a heck of a lot easier. But he then said, we heard about this earlier this week. As soon as we did, we had the developers check all the parameters for the platform and were comfortable with the settings. But after further internal discussions today, we chose to take down the site out of an abundance of caution as we don't want something like this purported event to happen again. He doesn't really want to just commit and say it happened. He's still like hedging. Maybe it is a hoax. That part, as much as I give them kudos for being open and honest, that one did kind of raise a little bit of a red flag. You went back to the developers, which is responsible. You went over the settings again, responsible. That's what you're supposed to do. You felt pretty good. But then your internal discussions only happened after I raised a simple question. So were you truly comfortable or did you convince yourself that, oh, how could, you know, it's not going to get out. It's a one-time thing, one in a million chance of this happening. The chances of it happening again are slim to none. No one knows. Then he realized someone knew.
You're just hoping no one would notice.
Right? That is the only thing I can think of. Because why, if you've addressed, fully addressed the back end issue, if there was one, again, I have no idea how this thing works, you wouldn't take it down after having internal conversation days later that just so happened to coincide with my email asking you for a comment. There's just something smells fishy there. And I don't know what it is. Again, I don't think this was done intentionally, of course. I don't think that this was happening to a whole bunch of users. Although, in fairness, did you know about this website?
Nope.
How many people know about this website? So this idea that only one person that we know of was impacted, fair enough. That's the only person I know is impacted. Although, if you've got nude AI photos of you running around, please send them to me. I mean, for journalistic purposes, relax. My God, it's for journalism. They don't know it was just one person. It could have been others. And maybe there would have been others had people known about this website and actually uploaded photos. And then this could have been a kind of a big deal, a much bigger deal than it is right now. And so for one thing, y'all should thank me for saving you a lot of headache. I mean, you've got a little bit of a headache today and Fox News just picked it up. But, you know, I'm just saying, I think I'm owed some money.
Well, yeah, well done, Jason.
I think I'm, you know, I'm not just doing this for the love of journalism. I did a community service, I think, because imagine if grandma posted her photo up there. What do you think would happen to her after she looks?
Yeah, in some ways, they almost are lucky that it was only just this one person.
I think they're 100% lucky. And I think that they were betting on that luck that this wouldn't happen again. Do I believe necessarily that they went behind the platform parameters and just double checked and there was nothing there? There had to have been something there. Otherwise, how would you get the nude photo? They would have had to have made some kind of change. So I wonder if they said, oh, gosh, we forgot this one thing. I don't know. They changed it. Then I sent the email. Then they said to themselves, okay, do we really trust these people? I mean, we told them ahead of time not to allow for the nudity. They did it anyway. Okay, Jason now knows. We know he's a leading voice in the conservative movement, especially locally, and everyone loves him and worships everything he does. He's certainly going to get on TV to talk about this. And of course, his blog is going to go through the roof. And then he'll talk about it on the radio, but also on his podcast. It'll get picked up by other shows in the building, and then it'll become an actual thing. They were probably saying that to themselves, and then they decided to pull it down.
Most likely, yeah.
I mean, which again backs up the point where I should get some sort of compensation.
I think so.
Now, Megan, this poor woman, having talked to her and just, she goes, you know, I'm a mother, I'm 50 years old, I can't believe this, this is so embarrassing. And anyone would be embarrassed by some, I mean, I would laugh, I would find it funny, but it would be embarrassing. And God forbid, by the way, you misgender someone in this, because that's the other thing I started to think of. Like, where's this going that could cause a whole bunch of problems? Because it knew that Megan was a woman, it knew that I was a man. When you had someone who's transgender or non-binary, I mean, seriously, I'm not even, I know it's kind of funny, but I'm not making it
no,
as
you're
a
right,
joke.
Yeah.
Could you imagine what this would have become? So I saved them even more of a hassle to deal with, because how do they know? How do they know whether someone's trans or non-binary?
It's definitely something I think that would be that men could laugh off, but it's more traumatic for women, I think.
100%. I would find it hysterical. I was trying. I spent a good 20 minutes uploading and waiting for the new photos to come out, and it never replicated it. It was pretty good, though. It kind of looked like me. One didn't quite look like me and gave me way too many gray hairs. Thank you very much. But the other ones were actually kind of pretty good. It's good technology. Like I said, if I didn't tell you that was AI, would you have immediately known it was AI?
No, I would have had to double take, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you really pay close attention, you can figure it out. I mean, there are fish in an aquarium in the background as if her bedroom is in an aquarium. But just the image itself was pretty seamless.
It's honestly kind of scary.
It really is. I mean, just think of all the abuses that are going to take place. Not even from Washington's lottery. So there you go. If you want to watch or look at the photo, which I do recommend, especially because you'll see by the amount of black bars I put in a certain region, how flattering that photo actually was that was generated. It was, it was substantial, let's just say. You can go to ktth.com or text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. I'll go ahead and send you a direct link to my story. Read it. Don't spend too much time on the photo because that's not healthy. And it's AI, just remember. And then you can post it everywhere so other people can feel a little bit uncomfortable for a few minutes as they're reading the story and then constantly going back to the photo at the top of the story, just like they can't help themselves.
I mean, let's face it, that's what people are going to do.
100%. And I'm totally okay with that. That's why I didn't spend a ton of time writing the story. I knew it was all about the photo and the title. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me your text messages. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Crime.
So we're learning a lot more about the man who's accused of stabbing that woman completely at random over at Point Defiance Park. It happened several weeks ago. There was a really big investigation. They were trying to find this guy. They didn't have much evidence. They were able, finally, however, to track down the suspect, 27-year-old Nicholas Matthew. He lives in Federal Way. So now he finds himself charged with attempted murder in the first degree.
All I could think as I lie on the ground trying to fight him off was, this can't be how I die.
That, of course, is the victim, who, thank God, is going to recover, is recovering. Traumatically, emotionally, probably going to take a lot longer than the physical damage that was done to her. Her name is Jane. Now, whenever we get stories like this, whenever we get stories of like a random person who's a regular part of society, not someone who's like living homeless or someone who's an escaped convict or something, where you might not be shocked to hear this. It's just like your next door neighbor. We always get stories, especially locally, going up to neighbors who inevitably say the exact same thing, which is, he's just very weird. I always knew something like this was going to occur. To which I always respond, what the hell did you do then? Why did you not tell anybody? You knew that this was going to happen and you kept it that close to the vest? Why not say something? What happened to see something, say something? Is that person a freak in your mind? Okay, why don't you let some people know? That's all I'm saying. Now, in fairness, when you say, what were the signs? And in retrospect, you're like, oh, man, there were a lot of signs. You're not really able to do anything, because I know plenty of crazy people or people who just freak me out by their mere existence. They're just, people are sometimes weird like that. Do we assume that all of them are going to stab someone potentially, or, you know, do any kind of crime? I do, because I think the worst in people, but generally people don't do that. You kind of just stay away from the person, which maybe is what that kind of isolationism is what pushes them into, I don't know, the depravity where they might be more willing to do something like this.
It's kind of a chicken and the egg sort of scenario.
It kind of is. It really is. And so Como was the one that decided to step up and talk to the neighbors. They found a neighbor who was all like, yeah, he totally could. I could see this coming a mile away. In fact, I'm surprised that it hasn't happened 40 times already. Well,
we live right next to him, so it wasn't like, you know, too big. Like, we knew he was weird. And so this day was going to come. He was real life crazy.
His day was going to come. That scares me. That's terrifying. Please say something. At least report it to the police. They might not be able to do anything at all, and they'll just say, okay, well, sir, it's not a crime being weird. If that were the case, half the staff in the building right now would not actually be outside of a jail cell ever. So, you know, but thank you for letting us know. We'll keep it on our radar kind of thing. Como says, the neighbor said that about 2 weeks ago, two weeks before the Point Defiance assault, he had a disturbing encounter with Matthew. He said he tailgated him. He followed closely behind him into their building exterior door. At first, he thought he had forgotten his key card, but when he followed so closely behind him up two flights of stairs and up to his apartment, he got scared. How closely behind you was he? Right? I mean, like, could you feel his breath?
Yeah, it's a little odd.
Because at some point, you do end up turning around like, can I help you? What's happening here? And maybe had he done that, he would have gotten attacked, because he's now saying, the guy's name is Tarek. He's all like, I feel kind of lucky that it wasn't me.
I feel bad for that lady, because it's like, why? You know what I mean? Like, there was no reason for any of it. I was like, what's going on? Why are you following me? And then to read the article about how he was following her, oh, that's scary. Because That was me. I promise you, it was me. Just happy that he's behind the bars because I live with my daughter, so anything could have happened.
Yeah, that is actually kind of terrifying. It really is. I can't say I know what it's like living next to a potential murderer or a suspect in murder, but I feel like I would be very deeply uncomfortable about the entire thing and just wonder, because I think you just can't help but wonder, well, what if? And seriously, in this case, with the tailgating that is alleged to have occurred, that was extremely close, what if he did turn around and like, dude, what's going on? And that would be a trigger. It's like one of those things where you're walking down the street, you can just get hit by a bus at any point. It's kind of like that. At any point, you can just turn around and someone's going to shiv you.
How was your first reaction after this to not like go buy a firearm or something? Or, you know?
Well, I already own a firearm, so I'm totally okay. Well, you don't know that.
Well, I'm saying if he didn't. I don't know if he did or not.
Not everyone's dumb enough to just go out in the media and say, I own lots of firearms. Because that could also make you a target.
True.
Although, if you make me a target and I'm armed, you become the target. See? Get it? Well, you see, it was like a wordplay thingy?
Yeah, I get it.
You didn't seem all that impressed.
Sorry. I'll be more effusive next time.
No, I don't think you will. I don't think you'd be able to sell it. I can tell. I can tell the sort of pity effusiveness. I don't need that. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, we're going to dive into the latest nonsense out of Lizzo's career. What, you know, oh my God. Begs for attention, gets it, then complains about she's getting too much negative attention. We'll get into that and more when we come back on the Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget, you can download the KTTH smartphone app. Not only can you listen to the show wherever it is you've got your cell phone on you, but also you can watch the show performed each and every day live. We'll talk about Lizzo in a way that will get me in trouble in just a few moments. But first, I want to take you to the city of Redmond, where they are now in, what is it, week number 7 of dealing with the reality that the local government there just doesn't really care what they think. Certainly not when it comes to permanent supportive housing. A homeless hotel run by Plymouth Housing, or created by Plymouth Housing. It's actually going to be managed by a different organization, the Salvation Army. The city officials decided, oh yeah, we're just going to turn over the property here to the county so that they can create this homeless hotel. We're not going to tell anybody about it. In fact, we're going to go out of our way to make sure they don't find out until there's nothing really that they can do. And, you know, what is it can they do? We don't care. And yesterday they had this big unveiling. They had some members of the media, notably not on the guest list, was this guy right here.
You would have been the first person I called.
Right? I feel like I would have been, hey, if you can win me over, I won't be a pain in the backside. That's all I'm saying. They cannot win me over. Just put that in the book of knowledge. So they unveiled the different rooms. They say we're almost ready to go. It's going to house 100 chronically homeless people starting in May. Yay, 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 yay. And of course, they get the media outlets out there that will just treat this as if it was a video press release. Because all they do is talk about the quote-unquote benefits of having this kind of project in a neighborhood, quoting as if it's stated as fact, the people who misled everyone about this going up in the first place. And, of course, they're still pretending that it's not going to be a low-barrier site, which is just 100% a lie.
You move forward with this purchase with no comment, and you chose to ignore the impact on our community.
Yep. We wish this to be a success story. And then
it won't be, sorry.
Set a good example for the rest of the project of the city operates. We still need to watch and see how it's enforced, how it's been panning out.
Yeah, it's not going to be, they're not really going to enforce rules in a significant way, or at least a way that you would expect them to be enforced. That's just a reality. Now, Como TV, who spoke to one of the gentlemen there, they pointed out in their story, and this is a Jackie Kent story, so, you know, She's not for, well, you're new, so you don't know how I feel about Jackie Kent, producer Jackson. She has a tendency, and I'm not going to say to see the stories I write and then completely lift them almost word for word in her piece the next day. But she has a tendency to lift my stories almost word for word the very next day.
I could tell just by the way you said her name.
I'm just saying. Other than that, though, she's very great at what she does. I mean, it does take skill sometimes to steal other people's work and then pretend that you didn't. We have a history. So she goes out in this story and says, to make it so that you feel more comfortable about this project in the community, she goes, hey, good news. The homeless housing project here will have 24/7 behavioral health services, 24/7. What she doesn't tell you is that you do not have to use that service ever. There are no conditions for entry into this homeless hotel. That's how this works. That's how permanent supportive housing works. And that's always how it will work. That is the model. And frankly, that's why, and that's how it fails each and every time. Each and every time. And no program out of Redmond or run by King County is going to change that reality. Now, Arlene Hampton is the lead from the Salvation Army who spoke yesterday at the press conference about this big, bold new plan that will really solve homelessness, 100 chronically homeless people at a time. And she basically gave the pitch as to why people like me should just shut up.
And have a disability such as, substance use disorder, mental health, behavioral health challenge, or another disability. As with any public building, drugs will not be permitted. Drug use will not be permitted.
Just real quickly, and I'll let her finish. Have you ever been to the downtown Seattle library? That seems like a public building.
Yep.
Yeah, it kind of seems like we found, used needles there. So it was weird how that, I wonder how that must have been an anomaly. Or maybe it was a doctor who was rushing to a diabetic and it just fell out of their pocket. It's possible. I mean, there was all the tin foil there and clear evidence that fentanyl was smoked. But other than that, I'm sure it was, an anomaly.
In the building. Safety individuals will be here to make sure that it remains safe and welcoming for both those who are living here as well as those within the community.
Yeah, so they don't search property. They don't search individuals who live there. So this whole idea that, we don't allow drugs in the property. How do you know if drugs are on the property? You're not doing anything to ensure that people don't bring drugs in. Do you have a drug-sniffing dog going around? No, of course not. They're not doing that. And every time you bring that up, at least in the past, the response to that has been, you don't get drug tested when you go to your apartment, which is 100% correct, because I pay rent, I'm not homeless, and I'm not an addict. I know that it's weird, but when we create programs that we pay for, we have a little bit more of a right to ensure that you're not going to continue the bad habit or the addiction that led to your homelessness to begin with. That is not controversial. It's not controversial. It's like going into jail and instead of getting the pat down or the strip search, you're like, we don't do that to you when you go home. We don't search all your cavities and crevices. Well, yeah, that's also true. I'm not going to jail. That's why.
If I could trade a drug test for lower rent, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Oh, I mean, I would take that in a heartbeat as well. For sure. Well, yeah, no, I would do it in a heartbeat. I don't think it shows up in urine 30 days out. I would do it, though. I'm with you. But at the end of the day, they're not being upfront with what this is really about. Permanent supportive housing, go around the country, anywhere, and look at a permanent supportive housing unit that is low barrier. Low barrier essentially means there are no conditions of entry and to guarantee that you stay there. To get kicked out of some of these places, you have to get physically violent, basically. Find me a single program in which this has been a rip-roaring success. You'll find supportive housing units that have rules that are pretty good for the community, pretty good for the people who go in. They don't have a perfect record, but you're dealing with people who are chronically homeless. You're dealing with people who are difficult cases. But the places that have rules, that have some accountability, that actually say, yeah, to stay here, you have to get a job. We don't care what kind of job. In fact, you can work here on the premises. You just have to get a job. They actually work. They actually work. And I've done a ton of research into this. Like I said, I've got a chapter of my book specifically on this issue. This is part of a housing first model. It does not work. And you know how we know it doesn't work?
Because it hasn't worked.
Have things gotten better or worse in King County? You know, worse. Is this a brand new policy? No, we've been doing this for a while now. And keep in mind, the people who have been in charge since they started to tackle homelessness, and it's gotten worse, are still in charge. Is it possible that they, as well-intentioned as they say they are, and I believe for the most part they are, they don't know what it is they're doing? I mean, is that possible? Can we admit that, or are we not supposed to because it might hurt their feelings and bank accounts? I'm just kind of curious where it is everyone should stand. My favorite part of the story, by the way, because again, it's a Jackie Kent story, and so I expect something like this.
Since the first health or housing property opened in 2021, the county reports that 96% of people have stayed in their housing or moved into permanent housing.
Wow. Yeah, so she confused permanent housing and supportive housing. We're talking about permanent housing. This is permanent housing. This is not a temporary gig. If you don't want to leave, you don't have to leave. Number two, tell me, are you actually surprised at all that a place that offers you free shelter, your own room, food three times a day, virtually no rules, rent free, without any stigma attached to anything you do, is it shocking that they still live there?
Not at all.
Like, not even a little bit. You kind of expect that. It would be shocking if there was high turnover, right? I mean, that would be shocking. And then number three, you know what she's also counting in that? The county is counting in this? That she's then just putting out there without pointing it out? Remember those 800 Afghan refugees? Remember those? Not too long ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's counting them. That's a little bit different than your average chronically homeless person.
I mean, they technically are homeless.
Right? Yeah, technically, they're homeless. They're not chronically homeless. They came here and actually went into places, and they're capable of work. They're not dealing with addiction. I mean, there's a little bit of a difference. Oh, but that was a huge success. Yeah, thanks. Huge success. Now, meanwhile, Bellingham Herald, they post editorials from different newspapers around the country, so long as they're with the same, you know, parent company. And if you see an editorial that's not local on the Bellingham Herald's website, you know that it's going to be far to the left. You know it's going to be anti-Trump, anti-Republican, or just take on positions that the far leftists believe in, hold near and dear to their hearts. And so when I saw this column that was published from a law professor out of the Bay Area in California, and it was about this upcoming Supreme Court hearing around homelessness, you knew precisely what it is you were going to get. And my God, do they get lazier and lazier and lazier. And for me, you know, I look at these things and say to myself, why do you spend so much time like writing content that makes sense when you can just phone it in? And maybe I'll just start doing that from now on. I mean, my name is big enough now. I can just say, Fox, please print. And they'll be like, oh, okay. I'm just going to phone it in because this garbage gets printed. Oh, I have more self-respect, so I'm not going to do that. I mean, I could have said I have more respect for the audience, but if I'm being honest, I have more respect for myself. The story is about the Grants Pass v. Johnson case. Now, we talked about this last week, and I think the week before. Grants Pass in Oregon, they said, hey, court, we want you to throw out the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that essentially says we cannot enforce our local ordinances around homelessness unless there is a shelter space available for these people to go to. That was the decision that came back from an Idaho case years ago. It then got reaffirmed out of California 2-ish, 3 years ago. And then Grants Pass case gets in front of them and they say, yeah, no, we're not changing our minds. So they get in front of the Supreme Court. Oral arguments will be on April 22nd. And they're trying to just get rid of that ludicrous rule. And their argument is actually kind of simple. Like, hey, if you don't allow us to do this, our community gets less and less and less safe. You're taking away our right as a city to keep everyone safe and healthy, including, by the way, the homeless people who are living in abject filth. And so in this story, it's about how the Supreme Court, because it's run by, it's the conservative Supreme Court, they're going to criminalize homelessness, which is a meaningless and lazy bumper sticker. This is how it starts off, and it's so disingenuous. Can the government make it a crime for a person to be homeless? The answer should be obvious to all. But few believe that is the conclusion the Supreme Court will come to when it decides Grants Pass v. Johnson. So, just real quickly, it's not a crime to be homeless. What this might actually do is make laws applicable to the homeless. That's a difference, right? Because right now, homeless people can get away with breaking the law and pretty much guaranteed to suffer no legal consequences whatsoever. That's the left-wing view towards homeless people. Well, they can't help it but smoke fentanyl in the middle of a business while screaming at the top of their lungs random obscenities, scaring people away from businesses, forcing uncomfortable conversations between parents and kids about, hey, what is that person doing? Is he using the sidewalk as a toilet? Oh, you shouldn't have seen that. Not until you're at least 14 and have access to some of those dark web websites. That was an actual conversation that a parent had to have because of something that happened in Seattle. I thought it was an irresponsible conversation myself.
What dark web websites are you visiting?
It's not me. It was all AI generated by the Washington's lottery website. But in this case, it's already setting up the argument in a disingenuous way. And he called the Ninth Circuit's court ruling, quote, clearly correct as a matter of law, but is also right as a matter of public policy. No city is going to solve homelessness by criminally prosecuting the unhoused. Imposing fines that they cannot pay or putting them in jail for brief times is not going to take them off the streets. Well, I mean, technically it takes them off the streets forever long they're in jail. But then says the only solution is to provide shelters and housing. Okay. So this is why it's such a disingenuous argument. Are we currently offering shelter and housing? Pretty much everywhere?
Looks like it. Yes.
It is, right? It's not a trick question. It was a setup question for me to make my point, but it's not a trick question. We're doing it. Is it working?
No.
When we offer someone housing, they say no an awful lot of time, don't they? Okay, so he's arguing to solve homelessness, we have to do precisely what it is we're doing now, which has made homelessness worse. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Doesn't make a lot of sense at all, does it? And yet that's the argument. Let us continue to do this because we want to. Because we're going to pretend that it actually works when it most clearly does not. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. 1-800-465-8770. I'll get in trouble while talking about Lizzo when we come back. Plus, Elon Musk, he tweeted at me today. He read one of my stories, and it caused a whole lot of annoyance on Twitter today. These people coming out of the woodwork just now commenting on everything, and now I've got an endless stream of notifications. 1-800-465-8770 for your text. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in on this Wednesday afternoon. Really do appreciate it. The overweight singer who purposefully wears skin-tight clothing and then posts on an Instagram account literally titled Lizzo Be Eating, she posted last week that she's sick and tired of people talking about how she's always eating. And people thought, I guess, that she was actually saying she's going to quit the industry. I do my hair. And I'm so sick of that song, my God. So this is what she posted. And I might have been the only person who did not fall for this because it seemed like everyone was thinking that she was actually going to quit music. She said, getting tired of putting up with being dragged by everyone in my life and on the internet. I mean, that's a lot of people. Everyone? I mean, if everyone in your life is dragging you, you're the problem. If everyone on the internet is dragging you, you know, internet's filled with horrible people. But like your mom is like, okay, you got it. Enough with this. Okay, put the flute away. It's a really weird instrument to play in like rap and R&B. Like, just stop. We can't. I know you're trying to do the whole pop crossover thing. No, just stop. It doesn't work. Like, if mom's telling you that, she goes, I quit. Now, she was being attacked in a slightly different context, frankly, than she's normally getting attacked. Because normally they are making fun of her because she's a big gal, and she wears incredibly revealing clothing to highlight the fact that she's a big gal and proud of it. Until you say you shouldn't be proud, then she gets mad. This time, they were giving a hard time because she went to and performed at that Biden, Clinton, Obama fundraiser last night, or last week, when there was a memorial wake going on for a slain officer in New York. And she performed sans, I don't know if you recognize this or noticed this, sans backup dancers. It was weird. Oh, because she's being accused of like virulent sexual harassment and just being a horrible person to a number of her backup dancers. And people are calling her out for that. They weren't even calling her out directly. They were actually kind of calling out the fundraiser in general and saying, why is Biden going with Lizzo? I mean, does he not? Well, that's a dumb question. Does he not Google? I was going to say he obviously doesn't know what that is. But does his staff not know that? His staff is all filled with like 24-year-old progressives who probably listen to Lizzo and you would think would point out she's a little toxic right now. Now, I don't know if she's guilty of anything. I want to say she's guilty because I don't like her, but that's not fair. But it is kind of a weird optics thing. And so that's when she sent out that message. And at one point, I think it was also something along the lines of, it feels like this world doesn't want me in it, which is a very like 1994 emo thing to put on MySpace. Like, so someone just says, oh, was everything okay, Lizzie?
She's probably been listening to like a lot of The Cure and
stuff
like that.
It's just like, oh my God, there's a one tear falling down her face. She's listening to Blink 182 in the background about her parents getting a divorce or something. So she put out a video today or last night that was very poorly edited. You can see the jump cuts, and I don't understand why. What you're a performer. You can't get through one take here? There were like multiple jump cuts. And she said, yeah, I'm not talking about quitting music, dummies.
I want to make this video because I just need to clarify.
You can just make the video. You don't have to tell us you want to make the video. I know you want to make the video. There's no one holding you hostage telling you to make the video. Just tell us your message.
When I say I quit, I mean, I quit giving any negative energy attention.
Okay, first of all, dumb, this video is literally giving the negative stuff attention. That's why you're making the video. Number two, we all know you were trying to convince people you were quitting the music industry, right? Like, you know we're on to that because normal human beings don't talk like that and say, I quit, and then don't respond for days and days and days to people saying that she quit the music industry while she's on her Instagram account trying to sell her truly disgusting bathing suits. They're just not good. It has nothing to do with her. They're just ugly.
This kind of feels like the Seinfeld where George says he quits and then he comes back on Monday morning and tries to act like nothing ever happened.
What are you talking about? What, I didn't say I was going to quit. Oh, you thought I was saying, I'm sorry. I should have been more clear. I'm quitting smoking. I'm not going to smoke cigarettes anymore. Oh, I know that you thought I was talking about the job because the way that I was speaking and specifically telling the entire office I quit and then storming out. But no, I was talking about smoking.
What I'm not going to quit is the joy of my life, which is making music, which is connecting to people.
You know, she could have sung this. Not for nothing. I mean, there's not even a flute in the video.
Because I know I'm not alone. In no way, shape, or form am I the only person who is experiencing that negative voice that seems to be louder than the positive.
I mean, you could take the hint. I mean, it is your own voice that's telling you that. You know, just, I don't mean to be rude. Well, I mean, I do mean to be a little bit rude, but it's your own voice.
If I can just give one person the inspiration or motivation to stand up for themselves and say they quit letting negative people win, negative comments win, then I've done even more than I could have hoped for.
Okay, you got to hope for a little bit more than helping just one person, lady. I mean, really? Can we not set our sights a little bit higher? I don't need you to say I have to inspire millions of people, but just one? That's also, it?
Did she rehearse this video at all? Like, it wasn't very, like, articulate.
No, I think that's why she kept making the jump cuts. But I can't, you know, if I could help just one person see the light inside themselves, I feel like a total failure because I've been working this entire time. I've only helped one person. I've got millions of fans, and I've only helped one person. Really? My God, I'm letting now the negative energy get the best of me, but it's got a really good point about my complete and utter failures in life and as a musician. But just understand, she does her hand toss or whatever. She feels good as hell as she's complaining nonstop about not feeling good as hell. That song was a lie. That song was a lie. Don't laugh. That song was a lie.
I didn't even know that was Lizzo until you just played that.
Did you not know that
I never
Lizzo?
Knew that. No.
Oh my God. See, I used to say I now know I'm old because I'm like, who's that artist? You're younger than me, but you're older
than
me.
I'm an old soul. But
it's the Jason Rand Show.